This is a Career Channel program from UC San Diego Extension. Visit us at www.uctv.tv/careers for videos, employment news, and trend articles to help recent college graduates and grads in career transition bridge to better employment.
Good morning and welcome to Career Talk, a monthly conversation with interesting people who have a direct connection to UC San Diego Extension's courses and certificate programs. I'm John Freeman, Communications Director at Extension, and today I'm very pleased to welcome Jacole Kitchen, an Extension instructor who teaches the art of acting. She's also the casting director and artistic associate for San Diego Repertory Theater, best known as The Rep, and one of San Diego's most acclaimed theater companies. Our theme today is Overcoming Stage Fright. What's so scary about acting classes? So thank you for joining me, Jacole.
Good morning, John. Thanks so much for having me.
Of course, of course. So I look forward to what I'm sure will be a very stimulating conversation.
Yes.
But first, let me tell you a few minutes, or take a few minutes to tell me to tell you about what we're going to talk about. As casting director, she works with professionally trained actors who have devoted a lifetime to their craft. Here at Extension, she teaches her craft to serious theater arts students, as well as non-actors who desire to gain confidence as public speakers. A former actor herself, she spent 6 years as a talent agent in Los Angeles, booking numerous clients in long-running Broadway shows and national tours, such as Wicked, Jersey Boys, Phantom of the Opera, Lion King, Peter Pan, and many more.
Absolutely.
Jacole is an avid spoken word and improv performer as well. So, let's get started. My first question is, what is it that makes someone want to be a performer on stage? What is that?
You know, I think that there's something that is just deep inside of you. I don't know if you can identify it articulately, but I will say there's a lot of students who come into my extension classes who are, you know, in their 40s and 50s, 60s and 70s even, who will come in and say, I've just always wanted to try this. When I was young, I wanted to, but life gets in the way. You have to support your family. You have to have a job. But there's always just that little buzzing deep down in their stomach saying, I think that I want to try that. And now they're retired or have the time or really just are finally listening to it.
So is your job, for I guess the question really is, comes down to, can acting be taught?
You know, I go back and forth on this question quite a bit, actually, John. And I think yes and no. I think that there are techniques that can be taught to get somebody to dive into a character or to tap into emotions that they didn't know that they had. So I don't know if it's acting. I'm using my air quotes. You can't see that in radio land. But I don't know if that's acting per se that's being taught or if it's just really tapping into something that you didn't know was there in the first place to be able to create from within. So if you call that acting, then yes, it can be taught. But you really have to want it, I think.
What then are the special talents, aside from the desire to be on stage and subject yourself perhaps to some humiliation, what are the special talents that make a great actor as opposed to an okay actor?
Inhibition.
Ah.
Fearlessness.
Ah.
The ability to go beyond their own limits, to not be concerned about how they're being perceived, but just what feels good coming from the inside out.
You know, it strikes me with the passing of Robin Williams. Mm-hmm. He may have been the most uninhibited performer of our time. What do you look for? I suppose Robin Williams was always himself amid, you know, thousands of characters. Does someone have to go on stage and be themselves or be someone that the script tells them to be? What's the best way to do that?
They have to have the ability to be able to go outside of themselves. Mm-hmm. Because, yes, you have to be, I think, very much in touch with yourself in order to strip that down and take on this new persona. So I think that you have to be very self-aware, but yet, like we said, uninhibited and ready to shed all of the parts of you. I teach my students that you have to be familiar with yourself and your own mannerisms before you can get rid of them and take on somebody else's mannerisms and thoughts and gestures. So you have to be self-aware. So absolutely, with Robin Williams, he was so what is the word that I'm looking for? Just uninhibited in his own skin. He was so comfortable
being so many people.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I think that you have to be able to be comfortable with that. Not every actor has to be able to be Robin Williams and be funny and be able to play seven different characters at once, but you do want to be able to find a distinction and something different and something very unique in every character that you do play.
Mm-hmm. Tell me about the rep. Tell me what is your role? What do you do every day when you go to work?
I am the casting director and artistic associate at the Rep. So my primary job is to find the actors that you see on stage. I go through a process of going through submissions for any one show, depending on the roles, the type of role, the number of roles.
Are these video submissions?
Or
are these,
it's headshots and resumes. It's and usually
it.
Electronic. The beginning process. I'll send out a notice saying, this is the show, these are the dates, this is what I'm looking for.
Mm-hmm.
And then the actors themselves, their agents, their managers, whoever it might be, sends me headshots and resumes of those people that they think might be right. And then I go through them. So for any one, like for Venus and Fur, for example, it was a 2-person show, but highly acclaimed Tony Award winning play. And for a 2-person show, I had over 1,400 submissions.
Oh, my goodness.
Because we were seeing people in both San Diego and Los Angeles for this particular production. So it's my job to weed through those 1,400 to decide which maybe 200, 150 people I'm going to be able to see, to decide which 50 people I want to put in front of the director.
So 50 people
audition
in person for this particular role.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely, mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that process takes 2 days, a week?
From submission to final casting, I would say it's usually about 4 weeks. But from the first time you get in the room to the final audition, probably it's a 2-week process for the actors.
Mm-hmm.
For me, it's a 6-month process.
Uh-huh.
But for the actors, it's generally maybe a 2-week process.
Mm-hmm. Now, your background is as an agent casting your clients in these musicals across the country.
Yes.
You must feel for those that you say, thank you very much, next. You must have that.
Yes, indeed. And I think that my background as an agent has definitely influenced the way that I am in a room. I have had actors in the casting room say, thank you so much for smiling. Thank you so much for being nice. I'll get notes from actors that are just overwhelmed by how warm the casting room was, and I can't help but think, well, what are other people doing? What's uh-huh, really happening uh-huh. behind the table?
Sounds like it's because of you.
Well, and for me, I think you are going to get the best audition from somebody if they're comfortable. And I try to tell actors all the time, we're on your side. We want you to be the one.
Mm.
If you walk in that room and you're perfect, my job is done. So you've just made it easy for me. So of course I'm going to be on your side, and I'm going to want the room to be as warm and inviting for you as possible so that you can be uninhibited, so that you can let that guard down and go, okay, I'm ready to do whatever this person wants me to do, rather than being fearful of what I'm thinking and, you know, how I'm reacting. I try to keep a smile on my face as much as possible and genuinely be engaged as much as you can. I'm not going to say that I haven't had my thank you. kind
again.
Of days.
Next,
you know, uh-huh. of uh-huh. course, because it does get tiresome when you are seeing 150 people and maybe 15 of them that day have been right,
mm-hmm.
you know, or have been what you envision for the role or what the director does. So, yeah, you get a little bit impatient sometimes, but I think you're always going to get the best quality from somebody who feels comfortable.
Mm-hmm. Now, say you're casting for a 2-person play, and the script is the script, and the setting is the setting, and you have in your mind what these two people will be in the performance.
Mm-hmm.
Can a good performance in an audition change your concept of what that performance should be?
Absolutely. Absolutely. We go in with our thoughts, you're right, on what we think the character is going to look like, feel like. But as the casting director, I have a really unique opportunity because I'm the first person that gets to hear these things said out loud. So I am in the casting room is the first time that these characters become three-dimensional. And so there will be somebody that says something or does something in the room that I hadn't even thought of, that I totally missed on the page and go, yes, that's it. Or there's been times where I'm sitting in an audition, I've had several people that I think are doing just fine, and then somebody comes in and does a line a certain way, and I go, oh my goodness, that is supposed to be funny. This is the first person that has found the humor. Or if, you know, so absolutely, I think that Steve Gunderson in our production of Detroit that we did last season is the perfect example. I think that it's safe to say that, you know, we all pictured the role of Ben to be African-American. We pictured him sort of tall and geeky and, you know, very up-and-coming middle America. And Steve Gunderson came into this audition and he is Caucasian and, you know, not tall, not necessarily what we thought of for the role, but he was so funny. He was so funny and tapped into something in the role that nobody else did, regardless of age, type, what have you. And once we saw him in the room, we couldn't see anybody else's Ben because he brought it to life in a way that we hadn't pictured it, but that now we couldn't see any other way.
Wow.
And, of course, the role went to him.
And then that's thus is the process.
Absolutely.
Because if you hadn't gone through the process, and maybe you have someone you think that you, I'm sure you know a lot of these actors as they come through, and in your mind, subconsciously, maybe you say, this is the guy or woman that I want, but it doesn't quite turn out that
Absolutely.
Way sometimes.
It happens quite a bit. When you have the person that you go in saying, "You're the, this is the one to beat, this is the one to beat," and then somebody comes in and beats them. It's such an interesting process. It's heartbreaking at times, because part of my job is to be a heartbreaker, because you see, let's say in the final callbacks, you have 10 people that you think could be wonderful, but only one person can get the role. So that's 9 hearts you have to break. But I did have an actor, it was so, I did have an actor just the other day that didn't get a role, and I went up to and told him, what a great audition. I never got a chance to tell you what a great audition you did. It was so wonderful. And he says to me, I have to tell you, I didn't like the play. I was so relieved when I didn't get cast. I would have dove into it and I would have done a great job for you, but I was secretly so relieved. So it's not always heartbreaking, but 9 times out of 10,
yeah,
I know
mostly
that I'm having to disappoint somebody.
Mostly. Now, you are a, well, I say former actor yourself, but you also, I assume that you're still doing improv and you're still doing spoken word presentations, or is that what you still do?
Not as much as I should be.
Yeah.
I have been in San Diego 2 years now, and I am actually having my San Diego spoken word debut this coming Tuesday.
Wonderful.
At the Rep. I didn't even mean to come in here and plug something, but there's a group that we have at the Rep, Amigos del Rep, and it is a Latino-based organization within the Rep that's sponsored through the Rep, that puts on readings and different events for and by Latino artists to give the voice to some of the Latino actors in town. But one of the things that they do twice a year is what they call Club Cafe, and it is a big open mic and party and music and spoken word, and they have invited me to come and be on their stage and do one of my spoken word pieces. So I'm very excited about it. That's the first time I've done it since I've been in town. But yes, improv is something that has been a big part of my life for a very long time. And I know I need to find my improv community here in San Diego. But for now, my outlet is teaching it through UCSD Extension. It's one of my favorite classes to get to teach because I do get to sort of get up and play and have fun and exude with the students and get that kind of creative energy out.
Well, tell me your background then. Midwest, I hear.
What
are the seeds of this career?
I went to college at the University of Kansas. You know, I was sort of a late bloomer in the arts because I took my first acting class my freshman year of high school, And, you know, those of you in podcast land don't know this, but I'm 6 feet tall, a very sturdy woman. And so my parents tried to put me in sports my dad thought he was going to have a basketball player, you know. So I tried several different sports, basketball, volleyball. I threw shot put and discus. I was on the diving team 1 year.
Wow.
None of it. I was not naturally good at anything until the first acting class that I took.
And what did you feel when you took that first class? What?
It was like my world opened up. It was sort of that feeling we were talking about, that need to act, that little buzzing in the deep of your core that I didn't even know it was there until I stood up on that stage and went, oh, somebody put a script in my hand and getting to just interpret this text the way that I want to. All right, this is fun. But then, of course, my mom tells me it's been in me my whole life. We just, you know, didn't know. We didn't know what to do with it until then. So it was, you know, I took my first acting class. I got put in a play that my freshman year, and I was hooked ever since. So when I got to the University of Kansas and majored in acting and knew that I was going to come out west at some point to get into Hollywood, I will say when I got to L.A., you have to make that decision. Do I want to be an actor or do I want to be able to pay my bills and eat?
Uh-huh.
And so I
you
went
to
pay
both?
The bills.
You
no,
can do
you
both?
Can't. You
can't.
Have to choose one or the
okay.
other.
Okay, I understand.
And I chose paying the bills, but that's how I ended up in academia, ended up teaching. That's how I ended up behind the scenes as a talent agent. I actually was still performing at that time in a variety show, Sunday Night at Kirby's, just a really fun show that we did in North Hollywood, which that led me to a friend of mine's agent needed an assistant. I became an assistant, and then I became an agent, and then realized that I needed to have a little bit more creative input in what I was doing, and lo and behold, San Diego Rep happened.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's talk about, I know the Rep is a thriving theater, and the Old Globe, of course, and the La Jolla Playhouse,
absolutely,
of course. It seems to me that the theater scene in San Diego has, I don't know, come of age, has become a real force in the arts in San Diego.
Absolutely.
What's your assessment? How is San Diego doing?
Oh, San Diego is a thriving theater town, and there's such a community here that I don't know exists in a lot of other places. It didn't exist, I don't think, as wholly in Los Angeles nearly as the way it does here in San Diego. There's a camaraderie between the actors, between the casting directors, between the producers. Everybody sees each other's work.
You mean it's not that competitiveness and there's not, people are nice here in the theater?
There is certainly that level of competitiveness because, you know, everybody is still going for the same roles, but at the same time, they're rooting for each other.
I see.
You know, I had, after a session that I did for Detroit, which we were only hiring local actors for that one. And there was a Facebook feed where one actor had posted what a great time it was in the room and so great to see all of her friends. It was almost like a reunion. And just the comments that happened, just all San Diego actors, how great it was to see so many San Diego faces in there and rooting each other on. Uh-huh. If I don't get it, I hope you do. There's just such a camaraderie that I think is, it's a blessing because it's what we were talking about earlier. You're going to get the best work out of people when everybody's trying to help each other out, not trying to pull each other down. So, yes, there is a level of competition, but it's not a blood in the water sort of feeling like there is in other entertainment cities.
So what you're saying then is you don't necessarily have to go to New York to see the best of theater.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely you don't. I mean, yes, you have a great theater in New York, but you have right in your backyard, like you said, you have the Old Globe, the Playhouse, and the Rep that everybody knows about. But you have Moxie Theater, you have Ion Theater, you have Signet Theater, you have New Village Arts, you have all of these theaters that are all thriving in this town. And I think that one of the best things about it is we all have our own niche. So we're not necessarily competing with each other, even for patrons, as much as you are in other places, because you're not going to see the same type of programming at La Jolla Playhouse that you are at the mm-hmm. Rep, that you are at the Globe, that you are at Moxie, that you are at Diversionary. Everybody, yes, there's a little bit of overlap here and there. I've seen a couple shows at theaters where I went, dang it, it should have been us.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, or it could have been us, I will say. But we all do our own thing, and we all have our niche and our audience and our own little wonderful dysfunction, and somehow it all comes together for an amazing community of theater.
So we have about a minute left, and here's one question, maybe deserves a longer response, but what is the role of acting in everyday business situations? Are we all actors of a sort?
Absolutely. You put on a face every time you walk out of your door, every time you walk into a different door. And that's why a lot of business people do take our Acting One yes. classes and improv classes.
And you encourage that.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Because it is teaching you to not be so aware of what's being perceived. It teaches that fearlessness a little bit, that it's okay to go in and say what you feel you need to say without being judged, or that you do have a voice. It gives you permission to have a voice, mm-hmm. which a lot of people in corporate America feel like they don't.
I would say it gives you the permission to be yourself.
Absolutely. Ironic. Acting gives you permission to be yourself. I love it. I might have to steal that from you, John.
Well, I give it to you freely. So I'd like to thank my special guest, Jacole Kitchen. It was terrific, terrific conversation. So for San Diego, UC San Diego Extension's Career Talk, this is John Freeman. Thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you next time.